This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, April 14th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll get a report from Chicago Public Radio. Lynette Kalsnes will compare the federal economic stimulus plan to the New Deal and look at what benefits might come along this time around. We'll also check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Ousted Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich is due to appear in federal court to answer racketeering and fraud charges, with the exact makeup of his legal defense team and where he'll get the money to pay them still uncertain. Blagojevich will appear for arraignment at 11 this morning on charges he schemed to sell or trade President Obama's U.S. Senate seat. He's also charged with plotting to use the financial muscle of the governor's office to pressure the Chicago Tribune to fire editorial writers calling for his impeachment. A heavy complement of reporters and camera crews is expected. Court officials say there won't be special treatment for Blagojevich when he arrives at the courthouse. Zoning rules for wind turbine farms in Champaign County won the approval of a county board committee last night on a 7-2 vote. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The Environmental and Land Use Committee endorsed rules to regulate large arrays of wind turbines up to 500 feet tall on agricultural land. Currently, Champaign County rules only cover small individual wind turbines or windmills. Committee members decided to cut the size of the buffer required between wind farms and the nearest dwelling. The proposal called for at least a 1,500-foot buffer, but committee chair Barb Wasaki says a 1,200-foot buffer is more common and preferred by developers.
The developers who were at the meeting admitted that 1,500 feet would not necessarily be a deal breaker, but it would encourage them to rethink the configuration of the wind turbines and their placement in Champaign County.
County Planning and Zoning Director John Hall says he's hoping for quick county board approval next month of the wind turbine rules so that developers already looking to set up wind farms in Champaign County can take quick action. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Champaign school board members had a cheerful topic on their agenda last night, reviewing their next steps now that Champaign County voters have approved a new school facility sales tax. Unit 4 School Board President David Tomlinson says the one-cent tax will allow his district to finance $70 million in bonds, which will pay for property tax relief and several new construction projects.
The projects that we have on the line right now, specifically the two strands north of University, property tax, of course, and then starting the Savoy School and then starting that renovation process over the next several years, it looks like that's going to come in under the $70 million target, and we'll continue to do that work, and then we'll be getting that as-we-go process.
The as-we-go process refers to Unit 4's plans to avoid spending more than the sales tax brings in. Tomlinson says state law requires them to set some of the sales tax revenue aside for future use each year. He says that will help avoid overspending in case the tax revenue comes in lower than expected. The first project on Unit 4's construction list will be the expansion of Garden Hill School and the complete rebuilding of Booker T. Washington School. Creating new classrooms on the north side of Champaign is required by the consent decree. At the same time, Unit 4 officials promised to use sales tax money instead of property tax money to pay off existing debt, thus allowing them to cut the district's property tax rate. All but three school districts in Champaign County are promising property tax relief next year thanks to the new sales tax. The new sales tax takes effect in 2010. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn is speeding up payment of overdue bills so the state can qualify for more federal money. Illinois has fallen far behind in paying its bills, particularly to the hospitals, nursing homes, and pharmacies that care for the poor. They sometimes have to wait 150 days to be paid. The federal government is providing economic stimulus money to help cover Medicaid costs, but only if states reduce their payment cycle to 30 days or less by June 1. Quinn said yesterday Illinois is using $200 million in federal funds to begin catching up on old bills. The Democratic governor says Illinois is committed to paying its bills. He says the money will help struggling businesses stay afloat during the recession. The coordinator of the just-completed Illinois Marathon says about 98% of the event in Champaign and Urbana went as planned. But Mark Knudsen admits the events could use some tweaking before 2010. He says planners were ready to handle the total of 9,700 runners, monitoring the number of registrants as Saturday approached. But Knutson says their pickup of materials on Friday should be moved from the U of I's Arc Recreation Facility to Assembly Hall to address parking concerns. And he's hoping to move the start line for the 26-mile run closer to Assembly Hall. The date for the event may also be pushed back by a week or two. Knutson says the Easter holiday weekend turned out not to be a problem, but notes weather could be in the future.
Early April versus late April, you know, the temperatures are a little bit different, and the average highs in the end of the month are a little bit better for stuff like that. And hopefully there's no, you know, you don't have any snow. I mean, you know, you think last Monday, a week ago today, there was an inch of snow on the ground down there. So we want to avoid that if we can.
Knutson says the marathon was estimated to have raised $500,000 to $1 million for the region, but exact figures are still coming in from motels, restaurants, and area retail locations. He admits the event could still use more promotion to advise residents and motorists about the route, but Knutson is also hoping for more supporters along that route. He's planning to visit with city officials in May to begin planning the 2010 marathon. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Many grand elements of our shared landscape are legacies of the New Deal, the economic stimulus program of the Great Depression. Take Chicago's Outer Lakeshore Drive or the State Street Subway, for example, or the lodge at Starved Rock State Park in central Illinois. As the economy weakens, the current federal recovery program is drawing comparisons to the New Deal. For Illinois Public Radio, Lynette Kalsnes takes a look at what lasting benefits we'll get this time around and how we could do more.
We're overlooking the Outer Drive Bridge.
Margaret Rung looks down on the cars whizzing by an Outer Lakeshore Drive and the Art Deco Bridge that spans the Chicago River. They're among the beautifully designed and highly functional New Deal projects still in use today.
They created that S-curve down there that we know today, that we all love as we drive down Lakeshore Drive, which frankly is probably the most beautiful road in America.
Rung's a history professor who heads the Center for New Deal Studies at Roosevelt University. The Public Works Administration, the Civilian Conservation Corps, and the Works Progress Administration, all New Deal programs, put people to work building dams, bridges, roads, and parks. Here in the region, we can look to post offices, schools, and the State Street Subway. The WPA alone employed about 8.5 million people.
What's important to recognize as well is what you can't see, which is that 5,300 miles of sewer was laid under these programs.
President Roosevelt expected the New Deal to rebuild and modernize America. Michael Sherry, a history professor at Northwestern University, says FDR had the political backing to take bold action because the Depression was underway.
And so maybe in a way the biggest difference between 1933 and 2009 is that Roosevelt came into office after 3.5 years of learning and stumbling and rising anger and frustration.
But big things didn't happen right away. Perhaps the best known of the New Deal agencies, the WPA, didn't even start until 1935.
We shouldn't think of these New Deal programs as all involving kind of quickie, shovel-ready projects. These were projects that in many cases were very carefully designed, planned, built over a substantial period of time, made to last, and indeed many of them are still functioning.
Like the beautiful murals that still decorate our post offices and schools, or the massive lodge of stone and log at Starved Rock State Park. The current stimulus plan doesn't call to mind such glowing images. Instead, think immediate and pragmatic. Like repaving, potholes, bridge repairs, slow zones on the Blue Line. Illinois is getting $9 billion, and a lot of that is essentially paying bills that are past due. Jack Lavin is the state's chief operating officer and the guy in charge of Illinois' share of the stimulus. He says a third of the money will help the state catch up on late Medicaid payments to doctors and hospitals. $2 billion will jumpstart maintenance of roads, trains, and buses.
We haven't had a capital bill in 10 years. We haven't been taking care of our infrastructure, not just our roads and bridges, but also mass transit, water and sewer infrastructure.
These aren't the kinds of sexy things that people dream about in a stimulus, but they're the backbone of the infrastructure and that really creates the backbone of the economy.
Randy Blankenhorn heads the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. He thinks the state has to deal with its maintenance backlog. He and Jack Lavin hope having to use the stimulus money on basics makes the case for a long-term capital plan in Illinois. Still, Blankenhorn wonders why the federal government didn't roll the package out more slowly in a few phases. Yes, the point is to get people to work quickly, but under strict federal rules, some transit and transportation projects have to be under contract in 120 to 180 days. That doesn't leave time for dreaming big dreams.
I think that there are a lot of people out there thinking about this in a bigger way. The problem really is that the rules are hamstringing what we can do. This use it or lose it quickly really doesn't give time to be very visionary in how you're dealing with the transportation dollars. You're really meeting immediate needs.
Like in the south suburb of Riverdale, where village officials are hoping to move a pile of dirt.
Mount Riverdale. That's our dirt pile.
That's that dirt.
Mayor Zenobia Evans and her Director of Community and Economic Development, Janice Morrissey, take me on a tour. The dirt pile in question is at least 15 feet tall.
And it literally fills 3 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's so overgrown that I feel like we're on a dune.
Yeah.
The village wants to build mixed income housing on this land. Officials say that would help bring back a neighborhood that's got gangs and absentee landlords. But first, the dirt mountain has to go. Moving it would cost $600,000, and the developer who dumped it there is bankrupt. It's just part of Mayor Evans' $64 million stimulus wish list. She wants to improve sewers and roads, repair public buildings and water tanks, and demolish a crumbling greenery.
Blue-collar jobs, they're gone.
Evans says the stimulus gives villages like hers a chance for recovery.
If you get the road there, then you can get the business to come. And if you got the people there trained, they can take the jobs that the businesses will bring.
Otherwise?
Well, the communities will continue to decline because you can't not do the infrastructure improvements and have people living there. The homes are going to be going to disrepair, and they'll end up with more vacant houses and more brownfields.
Evans wants the money, but she's frustrated by the limited ways she can get it. She's part of a large group of mayors in the south suburbs that's trying to set priorities for the region and plan together. So if one town fixes its railroad station, for instance, the village across the street could take down abandoned buildings. But the money isn't coming directly to small towns like hers. It's filtering down through the federal, state, and county governments and complex funding formulas. Evan says that system prevents Riverdale and its neighbors from jointly going after projects that could get them more bang for their buck.
The WPA-style projects, to me, offers a lesson that just because we have to spend these dollars quickly doesn't mean we have to do it stupidly.
Mary Sue Barrett runs the Metropolitan Planning Council. In her view, the government won't stabilize communities by helping one town and not its neighbor across the street. Barrett says there's still time to step back and think. Even if you're solving an immediate need by paving streets, she says, why not envision bike lanes and walkways too?
If we have a chance to stabilize the housing, resurface the street, improve the transit station, bring retail and shopping amenities around the transit station, maybe a daycare operation, now that's a real community, and that's something that would be there for decades, many decades beyond.
Barrett says we'd better like what we end up with. Creating jobs is important, but she says we don't want to end up with nothing to show for recovery but a bunch of temporary jobs. I'm Lynette Kalsness.
In the forecast for the region, showers are likely this morning, then a chance of showers in the afternoon, the high around 45 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 38, and partly sunny and warmer Wednesday, the high around 58. Mostly clear Wednesday night, the low around 40. Sunny skies Thursday, the high around 65. Mostly clear Thursday night and Friday, with lows around 45, the high around 70. Partly cloudy Friday night, the lows around 48 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 14th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.